Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and greetings. Happy New Year, family. It's good to be back. We've had a hiatus, you know, for maybe May, and we've been doing shows off and on since May. But it's good to be back to start the new year, at least this month. We're going to try to bring some information about who we are and how we can begin to celebrate ourselves as we move into the new year. And so, you know, I'm fortunate that when Sister Wanda called me and said she wanted to bring this brother on, and he had wrote this book, and this book is about learning how to know thyself, I was like, that's a great show. Let's do it as soon as possible. It'll be a good show to give people, while people are rethinking resolutions, and let's give them a little more background or a different type of perspective on improving thyself. And, you know, I was at a meeting the other day, and a brother was talking about, for us to fix ourselves, we got to find the real truth about who we are as a people. And I'm a person, I'm melanated, but because of the problems on the planet, we need to find out who we are as a people, as all people that are man, you know, like that. Because there's a lot of things going on that's going to always affect everybody. I don't care if you go sit in your little race and hate all the other races. You know, you're going to be affected by the things that's coming and being affected with this planet, just like the storm that went up the East Coast. You could hate, but it affected everybody. And that's how the new energy that's coming in, that's how it's going to affect everybody. So it's nice to start with a show that deals with know thyself. So where you start will be exactly how you build. So when you reflect a year from now, when you listen to the Sequel Show, you can determine, well, I'm farther along spiritually. I need to work on something. Maybe I need to read this book two or three times because I'm missing little things in it. Plus, also getting in touch with your ancestral energy, your spirit, or God, whoever you think of it. So I'm going to say, great. Thank you, family, for coming. I want to take care of a little business, and then I'm going to turn the show over to Sister Wanda. You know, because there's some things that concern us. You know, the Reading Stone Network, the show we did, our last show we did, we tried to educate folks on, you know, the civil rules of procedure. Definitely go back and get that book. That particular show is worth downloading. Recently, there's some people in the South Carolina Senate that decided that they were going to start making low-income students pay back their Pell Grant if they don't graduate in 6 years. And also around the country, we're hearing that if you haven't paid back your student loan, they're starting to garnish your salary, whatever, trying to take you to debtor camp. We also know on the horizon they're going to get rid of the ability for you to run up a large debt and student loan debt, and then every year you take a class so you don't have to pay. They're getting ready to eliminate that too. They're trying to make everybody pay. And so here at the Ringing Stone Network, we have devised a 6 to 8 week program to help teach you how to manage and zero your student loan debt. And so if you're interested in that, email theringingstonenetwork@google.com. That's theringingstonenetwork@gmail.com. And, you know, we'll try to get you some information, sit down and talk to you about it, and take a look at teaching you how to zero your student loan debt, because they're coming. And with that, family, I want to give you my sister Wanda Alahart. She's been a spiritual warrior with me when we need to call on each other. She's also done some work on the network in terms of storytelling. A very solid sister, you know, to have. So right now I'll give you Sister Wanda Alahart. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Peace and divine love.
Greetings, sister. Welcome.
Yes, thank you for sponsoring us here on the Ringing Stone Network. We are the Magnolia Tree Institute of Ancient Wisdom in Northeast Louisiana, and we are honored to bring you Dan Michael Batista this evening. He's going to talk to us about his newly released book, The Frame. Do we have Dan Michael online right now?
Yes, we do.
All right, wonderful, wonderful. All right, Dan Michael, welcome, and thank you for being with us. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, ma'am. Greetings.
All right, wonderful. So before we get started, I like to always give thanks and ask if we could just take a moment to just breathe together, just take a deep breath and open the channel of communication, and we will begin. All right. So I met Ben about weeks ago, and meeting him has truly been life-changing for me. He has a phrase that I use, and it literally opened up some avenues of creativity for me. When I met him, he said, "Dress your magic." And in saying that, I asked myself this question, you know, interesting, you know, how do I dress my magic? And I was able to put something together that he called jacking. And what that was I placed some jewelry on my third eye. And since I've done that, I've had a request from a gift shop to make a few. So he's that type of inspiration that will get you moving. And the book, The Frame, helps us to define our boundaries, reinstate our sovereignty, and create or claim our divine purpose. So, Dan Michael, if you could just give us a little idea of what inspired you to write this book. The way I'd like to go through this interview tonight is to go through a few chapters and let you respond to them. But if you would first let us know what inspired you to write The Frame.
Yes, definitely. Well, The Frame is a channeled work that was really born within my intuitive channeling session. And within that session, Dan Michael really takes a side seat and makes room for higher guidance, which I've come to know as sacred guidance, to take a driving role. And in this session, it was the first time about 7 years ago where I was educated on the idea of what the frame was. As most sessions, I feel so rich just to be witness to the magic that comes through me. And so after learning of the frame and understanding how it was going to work for the person I was offering higher counsel to at that moment, I saw an opportunity and points in my own life that could really utilize this idea. And so I took it to the mat and I took it into my life. And I started seeing things that I had been trying to whip into alignment, things that I had been doing that one step forward, two steps back reality with, things that had just been like that thorn in my heel, you know, where I knew there was a better way. And no matter how much attention I was putting to it, it never seemed to be what I knew it could be. And the energy and idea of the frame helped me to finally bring, after 17 years of searching, it was a powerful catalyst to bring so many pieces of my life into alignment and give me access to a power, a clarity, and a focus that I had only dreamt about before that. So having that experience left me like really hungry to share it, you know, and to offer it, as I feel like there's a lot of my brothers and sisters globally right now that are hungry for that level of experience.
Absolutely. And I know that's what spoke to me. I was just hungry for something to nourish my soul. And, you know, nothing physical, food couldn't do it. You know, it's just, it was a point where I was just in need of some nourishment. And in reading the frame, I was on the train. It's 150 pages. And I tell you, I've read it a couple times and just keep going back. It just makes you hungry and wakes up, you know, something within your being that you know you want to express. And that's what I share with others. The frame is the first book that is going to be used in the Magnolia Trees Institute book club. And so we're also planning to bring Dan Michael to Louisiana sometime in February. And with that, Dan Michael, I want to just read a little excerpt from your book where it says, "It's time to move past whatever has been holding you back from stepping into your full self. You need to feel the fear and do it anyway. Feel the doubt and do it anyway. Face the possibility of failure and do it anyway. Face the discomfort of being seen and do it anyway. It's time to stop waiting because there's no perfect moment. There will always be another reason not to do it. The time is now. The time will always be now." And you're saying that you have to be all in. Can you elaborate for us on being all in?
Yes, definitely. And it's in the book, one of the beautiful things I've seen being a father of two beautiful baby girls, right, is being witness to a moment when a woman realizes she's pregnant. And in witnessing that, there's like a shift that happens immediately. And I understand this isn't all the time, but in most cases, when a woman finds out she's pregnant, a light goes on and she shifts her whole life on an idea. Because at that point, there's no promise of life. There's no promise that a healthy baby will come forth. But the idea that she is now carrying a possibility of life, she changes everything from habits that they couldn't break, like people that smoke for 20 years, drop it in a minute. People that drink, people that have habits and things that aren't productive, they're eating, the things that they eat and habits around their eating, they just shift 180 and they make that turn and they are like solid, Wanda, when they do it. And even more than that own shift, they ask the people around them to shift with them. You can't smoke any longer in front of a pregnant woman. That's not okay. You know what I'm saying? You can't drive a car in an unsafe way if you have a pregnant woman in that car, you know? She won't have it.
Right.
And so I love the way an individual does it and then how the community comes along and also supports that collective dream of life, you know? Uh-huh. And then even once the baby is born, there's still a moment where that baby is completely dependent upon the mother and the community to bring it to a point where it can take care of itself, right?
Right.
So
right.
If there's, to me, that is the most beautiful analogy for your dreams, for whatever mm-hmm. God, Spirit, the Divine put on each one of our hearts. They put it, it's on our heart to do, and it deserves that 180 shift. So many times we play games with our desire, our dreams, you know?
Uh-huh.
We take out loans on our dreams. We sabotage by letting lower energy things into our dreams. We tell ourselves we could just have a few cigarettes a day. We can have a few meals, a few drinks. You know what I'm saying? We could drive mm-hmm. recklessly a little bit. All of these ways where we self-sabotage, and I believe, you know, and I speak to as you ask, you know, being all in, honor the gift. When you do this, Wanda, your whole life, like, snaps into place like a chiropractor giving you an adjustment, and all of a sudden, like, so much becomes available to you that wasn't when we were only 1 foot in, 1 foot out, always, like, double-dutching, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's how it has affected me. I mean, just you mentioned me to dress the magic. I've always loved fashion, or I should say how to adorn the body temple. And just you making that statement has opened up another reality for me. And when you say that we have to honor where we are, that's the place that I think is important for all of us to look at. We don't have to take time to do anything particular. We're already enough where we are right now. And so what you also are saying here is before we fully jump into discussing how to create and solidify our frame, we want to emphasize the importance of knowing where you are. Most of us tend to be negative. You know, we're thinking that there's something that we are not able to do. Can you just speak to that?
Yeah, and if you could hold that thought for me one moment, Wanda, that place mark, like bookmark that thought, because something that's so rich in this that I want to bring everyone that's with us today, you know, is that moment when we met, and I'm at a book signing, and the words came out of my mouth, and it's not even a phrase that I use often, trust your magic, you know? And so I really believe Spirit spoke those words through me to you because you were ready to hear them. And so there was a room of maybe 14 people, but you're the one that took that and turned it into a catalyst, and then this conversation and everything else that you've created has spawned from that moment of, you know, of sharing between us. So
it
really inspires me. And the last thought on that is that one beautiful thing that I celebrate about the book is that it's not from me or of me, it's through me, right?
Uh-huh.
And the reason that distinction is so important is right now in this world, there's so many how-to guides. There's one easy fixes. There's like one-size-fits-all problem-solving devices. And I just really want to share with those that, you know, each person listening, we all have the medicine within us. We all have the answers within us. We're all walking each other home. We're all helping each other remember. You know, this book doesn't have the answer. It has some ways of shining light and some insights onto where we can begin looking, each one of us, to get closer to the things we already know and already believe so that we can be more ready to do that which we know we're ready to do.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. So I was just feeling the excitement to share that. All right, so you bookmarked something. Remind me what it was now.
Saying oftentimes we're not thinking that we are capable. You know, we feel that we have to do something before we can really be who we want to be, to really step into our purpose.
Yes.
And I believe that's what you each one really, I'll say, teaches one. You know, we connect with each other. There's a spark that ignites in one of us, and if we touch the other, it will ignite in them as well. That's what I feel the frame will do for others who are interested in reading the book and the exercise that you offered as a daily practice. That's something that I found is important for me. I know you mentioned being in harmony with nature. I have been going to when the sun sets, and I automatically raise up when the sun rises. And just to experience that has been a great shift for me. There's something about the energy early in the morning, and I typically like to meditate between 3 and 5 a.m. However, since I've been doing that, noticed, as I say, you know, another shift. And in saying that, I'm not going to say that there are not other obstacles, other thoughts that come to you, because they do, but I continually feel inspired and excited knowing that I'm in harmony with the universe, you know, with the setting and the rising of the sun. And it just has affected me in a very positive way. And the gratification that comes from it, as I say, is just wonderful.
Well, I heard something really beautiful there, Wanda. I heard two things, you know. The first thing was like honoring where we are, right? It's the first question. And something so important about that, or so poignant, is we live in a time where social media is connecting us, right?
Yes.
But it's connecting us in a way that we can really manipulate the face in which we're showing the world, right? Before that, we can manipulate it through makeup, you know? We can but in a three, when you're 360 with somebody, when you're in person with somebody, you know, it's really hard to manipulate what they're going to see, you know? Especially when you're with someone over any length of time. And so, but right now, when we have this connection in a disconnected way, what's happening is a lot of people are only putting forth what they believe is worthy of being put forth. And so people watching and absorbing that begin to weigh themselves against these synthetic output and expressions. And it's really hurtful on many ways, destructive in many ways. And so when I say honor where you are, you better believe it, that sometimes just being vulnerable in your imperfection, meaning being courageous enough to say the words, I don't know, being courageous to say the words, I'm hurting right now, being courageous enough to say my life is not working right now, is enough to set a point, an opportunity for connectivity and possibility. Like any idea that you have on your head that you have to be perfect before you come out of the closet, that
Absolutely.
You have to be fully ripe, you know what I'm saying, and fully ready. Like, come out imperfect and share your love and your joy as it is today, because there's someone that's hungry for you in all of your perfect life, just the way you are today.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that is, man, that and that, and this, I feel like I'm speaking that to myself, because whenever, I believe whenever we're speaking, we're first speaking to ourselves, and then we're vibrating out, you know? So I almost want to just ask us to all take a moment for it, just take a deep breath, and just like, man, just remember you are perfect just the way you are. And the fact that you have breath in those lungs means that there's work to be done, and there's always going to be an opportunity to work on something, to clarify something, to improve something. But in the heart of it, you are beautiful just the way you are in this moment. And I honor you for being here, breathing, living, and listening, and dancing with us. And to follow that thread of goodness with honoring nature's clock, I feel like we have a brain. And the brain is a very powerful, powerful machine. There's no machine more powerful and complex than it within the scope of the body. No matter, technology is nowhere even close to touching the brain and its capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
in that, we are animals with a brain. And sometimes as humans, we try to outsmart life.
Yeah.
Instead of taking a deep breath and bowing to the majestic nature of creation and humbling ourselves to play our part within that divine nature.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, so many things become available to us. And when we fight against that, when we allow the invention of electricity to think that we can stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and then pop out of, and then wake ourselves up with synthetic caffeinated beverages in the morning and not pay a price, you know, and things of that nature, they catch up with us. And I guess that was one of the pieces of the book, you know, to
yes.
just highlight that nature's dance and how we can be in rhythm with it.
Yes, yes. And another mm-hmm. piece in the book where you say, look at life as sacred. You know, pay attention to how mm-hmm. we prepare food. Ask ourselves before we eat something if this is going to benefit our highest good. Oftentimes we eat unconsciously. Mm-hmm. And when you are honoring your food, when you are preparing it with intention, putting love in it, I like to light candles, you know, and play music. And then I have a couple of carvings that I look at as representative of my ancestors. You know, one of them is someone using a mortar, pounding corn, and the other one is someone standing, you know, observing her guests eating. So I find that, you know, you mentioning ritual in our life gives it more sacredness. It prepares us, you know, to receive everything with the vibration that we place into it, which, again, will, you know, benefit our whole being.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It's all sacred.
It
like the nature of things is all sacred. Like Mama Nature isn't wasteful at all. There's nothing in nature that is wasteful. It's all purposely, divinely orchestrated within itself to replenish and break down and be born again, you know? And in this beautiful cycle and in our culture of intentional obsolescence, where things are being created with the intention of being disposed of, it's really easy to get stuck in this thought frame or this thought process of the things are mundane. And so the moment we think of something as mundane, we treat it as worthless. We take it, we use it, we throw it away. That's a very mundane interaction. But the beautiful thing is that even if something was made with a lack of intention, the moment you touch it, you can restore the order of divinity. So
that's
say
right.
It's a plastic cup. Say a plastic mm-hmm. cup comes into your hands. I used to look at a plastic cup with this stain, right? And I used to look at it, and it would remind me of all the ways human beings, myself included, are living disconnected from source and the natural way of life, right?
Yeah.
But through the frame and the work, one day I realized I'm holding a plastic cup, right? And I'm like, wow, this cup is assisting me to drink water. Water is a rich gift, and I have it in abundance. And it is necessity for my life that I have access to it. And so this plastic cup is assisting me in being fed.
Mm-hmm.
What a divine role that cup is playing. And instead of looking at it with disdain, what if I appreciated it for what it's doing in this moment? And then instead of throwing it away, what if I saw how many times I could let it play that rich role in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Plastic is going to sit in the landfill forever. If that's the case, how long can it stay with me? You feel me, Wanda?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And people listening, like this is like magic. We are so powerful that we can reinstate everything to a level of sacred by the way we interact with it. And when we do, we realize we're sacred again.
Exactly.
Because when you're interacting with things that are sacred and you treat them as rich and inherently rich, then you feel rich because you have them in your life.
Okay.
And when you feel rich, then that's when the game changes. And then you start treating the people in your life as rich and your
mm-hmm.
interactions as rich, and it just snowballs with goodness.
Yes, it does. I've been experiencing that, you know, and having that good intention when you leave out the door, you know, after you have dressed your magic, acknowledge that you are magic. You know, just showing up makes a difference. Mm. And I have experienced it before, but more so now with the consciousness that the frame has given me about being able to make choices and the energetic frequency that you get as a result of making the choices that are best for your karmic agreements here. Yes, yes. I also wanted to let the audience know that we will have time for question in the last 15 minutes. One other area that I thought was helpful, you talk about how to cleanse our energy field. And I know that that may be something that we have to be conscious of. Oftentimes I hear empaths say that, you know, they just need a lot of time to themselves, or they walk away from situations and they just feel drained. And I know that for me, being an empath, I have to do that on a daily basis, even to the point where, you know, I'm just hearing from other people, you know, miles away. If it's not too soon, could we go to that area, or is there anything else that you'd like to share before we move on to some of the affirmations that you use in the frame?
No, that's poignant, and it gives me an opportunity to bring one of my mentors into the space who is no longer with us in physical form. It was a shaman in New Mexico, and I was in my early 20s. I had just opened my hypnosis practice, and he saw potential in me, and he took me under his wing. And under his wing, and really imparted a lot of beautiful life teachings with me. And so one of the ones that you just mentioned was exactly what he shared with me, and I pretty much put it verbatim in the book as it came from him to me and me to anyone that picks up the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is the understanding that we are constantly absorbing and giving to other people.
Yeah.
And you mentioned empaths, which means that empaths are just people that have a higher level of experiential, of emotions, where we actually are able to feel and experience what other people, other communities, and other like things that are happening in the world as they're happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a name, and that's called an empath, and it's a powerful gift. But like any gift, if you don't train your gift to be of service, your gift will be used against you.
Yes.
And so we'll use the empath's gift as a way of illustrating this point. So an empath, as I am one, is I would walk through my days, and I'd walk through and I'd pick up a lot of energy throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go home at night and I'd spend hours working on the things that I'd picked up.
Yes.
And the thing that the shaman helped me realize is that I was working on things that were none of my business.
Hmm.
That the only time that I was supposed to be using my gift was in session, when I was being of service to another person. So I opened the connectivity between me and that person, and I opened up my gift to feel them, because sometimes in our culture, we shut down from ourselves, our feelings, and our own knowing. So being an empath in that medium is very effective. But if I'm just hanging out, or I'm walking into a grocery store, and I'm picking up you, I'm all up in your business, and I have no business being there. There is nothing of use there. So that was the first part he told me, right?
Yes.
So he showed me a technique on how to clear and monitor my energy field, and that's in the end of the frame. It shows you how to create two orbs of energy that gives you, it's like a filtration system for your energetic body, and it works so powerfully, people. And I say empathic is a gift, because everybody has this. Empaths are just more heightened in it, but we all have it, right? So this is a good practice for everybody. But a piece of that is that he shared with me, and I remember to this day, Wanda, because you know when someone looks at you and they call you out, and you know they're speaking truth, and even though it's hard to swallow, you know, you're like, I got to drink this medicine if I'm going to grow. And his message was, how are you going to be a light worker? How are you going to be someone that says they stand for the good in the world? And you're going to walk into a room and pick up on negative energy because you're sensitive enough to do that and then turn around and leave that room without doing nothing about it. He was like, "That's what kind of light worker is that? Like the reason you feel the darkness is because it is your duty to bring the light. That's why you are sensing the darkness. There might be 100 people in that room, and you might be the only one feeling it because you're the one that has been ordained to bring light there. So you turning around and hightailing it out of there isn't why you felt it, right? That hit me hard, Wanda. That hit me hard. I didn't want. I was like, oh, I don't want to own that one. You know?
Yeah.
That's somebody. Let somebody else deal with that. I want to feel it and run and go to a place that feels good already. And it was part of the work of training ourselves and preparing ourselves so that we have tools, so that we walk into a room, we have the tool and the power and the courage to bring the light, because you don't have to fight the darkness. We just have to open the shades. When you walk into a room and you turn a light on, you don't have to tell the darkness to leave. The light does that. When you go into a room and you open a window shade and the sun is shining outside, you don't got to fight the darkness. The sun does that. Isn't that powerful?
It is very powerful.
So it takes the pressure off of us, and it's just like, just learn your gifts, learn the tools that you already have at your disposal to let more light in. Sometimes it's a prayer. Sometimes it's an intention. Sometimes it's a song. Sometimes it's a dance. Sometimes it's a message. Sometimes it's a movement. We all bring the light in different ways. But shine your light, people. Next time you feel darkness, know that that's Spirit asking you to bring you there.
Yes. And I like what you said. Yes, I do as well.
I can feel that. I can feel that so strongly. Oh, man. Like, it gets me excited. To the next time that I'm going to have an opportunity to, like, just trust that I'm divinely supported to do what I'm being asked to do.
Yes.
I was not sent into this life unarmed, without arms, without tools to face the unknown. I've been given everything I need and will need, and all I need to do is trust in the moment that it will be by my side, and I'll be ready to act, speak, say, and do whatever is being needed in that moment.
Yes, yes, and it is
all right.
So. It is happening.
It is so.
It is so. Yes. And with that, what you say in the frame is, yes, it says, be the change. Anything else will only perpetuate more of what is. And as a collective, we are ready for more. So I think that is what you're speaking to for all of us. We are the change that we are ready to see. And as a collective, we are more.
Yeah, I think we should ask everybody listening right now to take a moment and ask, are you ready for more?
Yes, exactly.
Are you ready for more right now? Are you ready for more of what you know is possible, for what your heart knows is possible, to what your love knows is possible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about thinking positively, Wanda, right now we can look at the things in the world as like, oh, whoa, how bad things are, how hard things are. Or we can look at the world and say, oh, thank you, Creator, for we are rich with opportunity to make a difference.
Yes.
We are rich with an opportunity to make a difference. No one of us is going to be left out of this party, because there's
That's
room
right.
for all of us to make a difference right now.
That's right. That's right. And Wanda,
I'm in this moment with you right now, so I know you're really feeling called to the frame right now. And so And please know that, like, I'm also feeling spirit just moving through me in this moment to just want to smile. Like, I feel giddy. I feel giddy right now. And as a grown man, opportunities to feel giddy again is a rich moment for me, you know? Like, you know, so that, so this is like a really, I thank you for helping create this moment to bring a little joy and giddiness into the world coming through this 40-year-old male body.
All right. That is a wonderful magnetic energy that takes place as a result of us owning, you know, who we are, knowing that we are and knowing that we have ways to protect ourselves, you know, to clean our energy. The frame offers all of that, you know, how you take this shape of egg-shaped sphere, and from the inside, counterclockwise, you're cleansing the energy. And then you do it clockwise, and you're bringing positive energy back into your life. I've done that, and I can feel it to the point where almost like I'm rotating if I just focus on it again and feeling that energy. Else that you, that I
and
think
you could
is,
do that, Wanda. And Wanda, just to say, for you and for people listening, you could master that technique to the point where you can do it in a walking state, like wherever you are. Like it just comes up for you, and you just set that into motion, and it will run itself in the background, almost how your phone and computer is cleaning and regenerating itself in the background, you know? So, and what I want to do is, since you highlighted that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a meditation around that offering so that, and so if people want to go to goodnessinaction.us and sign on to the, to our newsletter, what I will do is I'll take on for this week, making a meditation so people can just go on, create some quiet time, and I'll speak them through creating that for themselves in their life. And I think it would be a really beautiful way to give it, as that's the way it was given to me. So,
all right. That sounds good.
Okay.
That sounds good. Could you repeat that again, what that website is?
Oh, yeah. Goodnessinaction.us.
That is goodnessinaction.us, U.S.
Yep. U.S., yeah. And if you go down to the bottom of the page, there'll be a place to sign into the newsletters.
All right.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Another area that I thought was helpful is you say use anger to find your purpose. And I I talked to a friend who are very passionate about some of the injustices in the world. And I've said to them oftentimes, you know, well, you should be doing this or you should be doing that, because that's all they may talk about. And when I read, you said anger is actually showing you what one of your gifts are, I thought, wonderful, confirmation.
Yeah.
So you could speak to that, to our listening audience about how anger will help them to find their purpose. It's nothing to really run away from, but it is calling them into action.
Yeah, you know, every emotion is powerful. Emotions are so powerful that I call them the fuel of life, is your emotions, from anger to sadness to joy, the whole gamut of them has a place. And it's really important that we allow them to have their place. It's only when we fight them and limit them that they become dysfunctional, and they begin to create disharmony in our life. And so when I speak of anger, anger is alerting you to something that has been stepped on, that there's been a transgression of something sacred, and that's why you get angry. When you get your feathers ruffled, and you know inside it's not meant to be that way. And so what happens, though, is people get stuck in the emotion. Two things that happen is that either they shut it down because they don't think it's okay, you know, they're scared of where anger will take them, or they enjoy it and they spend too long in it, right? They get wrapped in the cycle of anger, and that's kind of what you were speaking about, right?
Yes.
But what I'm talking about in the book is, like, take anger when you feel that, right? Anger, feel that passion, right? And pay attention. What happened? What gets me angry in life? What gets me riled up? And if you do that, you're going to see that each one of us is being riled up for different things. And it's so beautiful because, like nature, everything is provided for. So in the multitude of issues and transgressions on the sacred right now, as is there the unique gifts in each one of us to heal those things. So someone, it'll be women's rights. Someone, it will be animal rights. Someone, it will be nature rights. Someone, it will be water. Someone, it will be children. Someone, it will be elderly. Someone, it will be mental health. Someone, it will be suicide, right, Wanda? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times right now, because there's so many things happening, I can speak to you, and maybe your top thing is mental health, and my top thing, say, is food, and we're talking to each other, and we could think that we're not on the same page, but that's not true. We are on the same page. It's that we're meant to work together to bring make sure everything gets done. So I'm supposed to support you, and you support me so that nothing gets left.
Exactly.
We don't have to be thinking the same way. We're unique for a reason. We're beautifully unique for a reason. That's our power. That's our strength.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes, exactly. I mean, I have picked up power, as I say, as a result of meeting, felt at home in myself with the things that I want to do. And now something else that you have done, you have workshops. I was in one of your workshops, and in the workshop there was meditation where you were telling us to, I think, talk to our child or our baby, our inner self. I know that we are all, you know, a part of our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, our mothers, and also our inner child. And you spoke to the inner child. And I believe that many of us as adults, we don't pay attention to that inner child. And when this particular workshop meditation, when you said put your baby to sleep or to hold your baby, I immediately went to sleep. I was so embarrassed. And our mutual friend, Barbara Charisma, she said, that's okay. She said, sometimes that happens. And so if you would just speak to some of the work that you do in the workshops, I would appreciate that because, as I said to our listening audience, you will be coming to Louisiana sometime in February and are scheduled to go to a few of the schools here, one elementary and possibly Grambling University.
Well, you know, and I also want to recognize that it's 6:47, I believe, right now, and we were going to open it up for questions. And so I want to make sure the people that want that have the opportunity. But let me speak to that briefly, and then we could dive into that. So, Wanda, one of the things around that is that the medicine is always in the room, someone told me, and I love that. Even when we're by ourselves, the medicine's in the room. And so whenever I'm speaking to a room, I'm always working with the medicine in the room, so it's never Dan Michael's show. It's our show, and it will always be unique because it depends on who's on the room in the room, you know? It'll always come out different. It'll always be different. So it's never the same, just like my one-on-one work. But when you speak about the child, we are always walking around with all of our ancestors with us.
Yes.
And our child self, our adult self, and our elder self, always with us. So even in our youth, we have access to our elder self that we can go and meditate and pray to and look to for guidance because it's already seen us. It knows. And when we're in... And no matter what stage you're in, you're just in that stage, but you have access to the child, the adult, and the elder. And so in that way, you know, the innocence in us is so rich, and we lose that a lot. We disconnect in our culture from the power of our innocence, the power of our imagination, which is one of the tools of the innocence of our childhood, you know? And we lose those tools, and so part of the work is going back and reclaiming them and remembering how powerful they are and owning them and loving our inner child because it gives us truth and understanding in such a deep way. That's that. And if no one is calling in, we just keep on jiving, you and I, you know? So how do we know if there's someone there that would like to ask questions?
Yes, if someone is on the line and they'd like to ask questions, you would just push 1 on your dial, and you'll be queued in.
Peace, greetings. I'm Brother Yusiku. Hey, welcome, Wanda and Brother Don. How are you today?
We're amazing, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm truly good. My request is, will you read something from your book?
Yes.
Sure. I appreciate it.
Let me open up here. Let me just open up to a page because there's something. So, remember, you have a deep inner knowing that you are whole and complete exactly as you are. These external stimuli negate that inner knowing, feeding you the message that you are inherently incomplete and need something to fill the void. These conflicting messages make it challenging to manifest the reality that you truly want to create. So I jumped into just a pull quote from the book, and that one is mind what you consume. And so let me read. I'm going to jump you back to the beginning of that chapter because that pull quote was where spirit led me to just jump in. Mind what you consume. We live in a culture built upon consumerism that is feeding us the message that we need things outside of ourselves in order to feel complete. Everything we consume has an impact on us, just as everything we put in our mouths needs to be broken down by our digestive system. We also need to digest everything that comes through our other senses, our eyes, our ears, our minds, our spirits. We are constantly consuming stimuli in this culture, often without realizing it. This overstimulation has a profound impact on us. Whether consciously or not, it's important to start paying attention to what we are allowing into us and realizing what effect it has on our mind, our body, and our spirits. And to finish that thought, movies and television are a good example of purposeful consumption. This type of entertainment is intentionally created around drama. That's what makes it interesting and holds our attention. This means that we are paying to be entertained by drama, which is something most of us are actually wanting to avoid in our real lives. And now with the distributors like Netflix, we have the ability to binge watch hours upon hours of these drama-filled stories, sometimes staying up all night to ease the suspense of what will happen next. So that is a quote that is from the book there, Mind Your Consumptions. And it's really just asking us, as it says, to pay greater attention to who you put yourself around, what you're allowing into your world, and just understanding that everything that you allow in your world has an impact and an effect. And you get to question whether you're willing to deal with that impact. And knowing that you are, you know, in many instances, you could, you know, choose not to allow it in simply by where the stores you patron, the shows you watch, the people you hang around, you know, the places you go. Anything else for you, brother?
Yes. Give me your opinion on tree. And your relationship with a tree, can you share that with us? Because you and Wanda mentioned earlier about getting back to nature, you know.
Yeah.
So me, my relationship with the tree is, it's usually my ancestral energy when they beam in or I go around the tree to do ritual. Would you share with the audience? And why I say that is because we have some younger people listening. And some of the things we gave, we just made people assume that they naturally know how to do it. And everybody doesn't naturally know how to just go to nature. You understand what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Totally.
And that's not putting no fault on you or Wanda, but, you know, our children want to know. Yeah. There was, you know, I was at a place the other day, and the young was saying, we let them down. And it's like, no, we're all learning together. You know what I mean? Like that, because we all kind of got led away. But give me your opinion on the tree, and then we got at least one question. Go ahead.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, and just to speak to the first question, like, as we speak about the book, the most beautiful thing about this book is that it is all about practicality. It's taking things that are spiritual and normally theological and up in, like, the headspace and the spirit space and bringing it down with really clear how to, you know, bring this into your life. So if you're moved by something you heard today, definitely get yourself a copy and see how this can impact and work in your life. And to answer that question, brother, about tree is such a powerful thing for me because I see it in three forms. One, the roots. The roots are about being grounded, about going into the darkness. A lot of times in our culture, we look at dark as negative and dark as bad, but dark is so powerful. So much happens in the darkness. Being okay, when you close your eyes, that is the space that's only yours. Nobody else is allowed in that moment of darkness, and we go inside and we go into Mother Earth and we ground in and we do things that make us steady. So that, to me, is the roots. The bark and the trunk of the tree is my is like the things in my life that hold me as fortified. It's my framework that keeps my channels going up and going down so that I'm both touching the ground and touching the stars at the same time. And then the thing I like about the tree is that you see an apple tree or a fruit tree. When a tree gives fruit, it is abundant, so abundant to the point where you can't catch it all. Even if you're a farmer, there's going to be parts of fruits that just go to the ground and get brought back into the earth and turn back into fertilizer and go again. And so I like to look at the tree is that when you're grounded in your roots, connected to your ancestral line and to the lessons that our ancestors are bringing us, to the truth and the knowledge of Mother Earth and all that's available to us being human beings before anything else, spirits in a human form, and then creating a life that supports that grounding and then allowing you to just flourish and see how bountiful your offerings are going to be when you're coming from those places. Like, there's so much fruit on you. There's so much blessing in you. And when you allow yourself to just become that channel, so many people, so many things are going to be fed. So, yeah, the tree is a place I go often. And the branches also reach out to the heavens. You know, they reach high and wide and broad. So, yeah, that's what tree is for me. One of the ways, and tree shows up as teaching in a lot of different ways, but that's a constant carrying teacher of mine.
Yeah, yeah. That certainly speaks to me.
That was powerful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, the Magnolia Tree Institute is in honor of my mother, Noe. We say of ancient wisdom because the ancestors are speaking through us. And so at this point, they are the roots, we are the branches, and the fruit we will bear, you know, to show our honor and our continuation of who they were. Beautiful, beautiful. Ben, Michael, can you share with the listening audience some of the work that you do that you may be available to present to others if they would like for you to visit them or to do another program? One that I'm particularly interested in is something you do called sacred masculinity. Is that one of the
Like I said, it's always whenever someone wants me to come and gives me an invitation, I see great honor in that and great appreciation. And so I'm always in a co-creation with the person, the invitee, to see what moved them to make the invitation. Then we craft something unique around that, you know. So it's always it's always different in that. But as you were speaking, talking about sacred masculinity, the new face of masculinity right now, men are re-evaluating what it is to be man right now. and there's a beautiful work being done and a beautiful calling being done. And so I definitely put a lot of light and shining into that work, you know, also a lot of light around the leadership, whereas we're going from like one profound dynamic leader and many followers for each one of us, realizing that we are the leader that we're waiting for. And one day we'll just all hold hands and dismantle this hierarchy, you know, pyramid type structure and replace it with a circular structure where we're all hand in hand, face to face. Nobody gets a back, nobody on top of another. All of us sitting in what I call the throne about genius, bringing forward the magic that is possible.
Beautiful. The throne of our genius.
The throne of our genius. Nobody can hold that space but you. And anyone that does it is going to make a mess of things. And they're going to work hard and they're not going to enjoy doing it. And if you were doing it, you're going to have a good old time. You're going to love the process. You're going to do it better than it can ever be done. And everyone's going to be enriched by the fact that you said, yes, I will do that.
Stepping up, that's what you're saying. Stepping up.
Stepping up and showing up. Yeah.
And going up and showing out. That's right.
Yeah. I told you, Wanda, and I'll tell all the listeners, one of the rules of my life is that when I do something, I want to be left with more energy than I came. And that's how spirit's measuring stick in my life, to let me know that I'm on task and I'm on focus. And when I found that I lose energy, that's not that it's bad, but it's showing me that I need to reflect on why energy was lost. Because when spirit is working, it's always growing love, light, and laughter. It's always generatively on top of itself. So as I'm leaving this conversation, I feel high, I am flying, I feel loved, I feel appreciated, and I pray that someone else out there in the world is feeling it with me, because that's always my prayer. And so if you take on that measuring stick, if you are losing energy somewhere, that's spirit telling you to just go home and reflect, have a conversation. Yeah. Something's out of alignment that's being put back into alignment. And it's such a powerful one for me. And it just made me think of it because I feel so good in this moment. Nothing I'd rather have been than this moment in time with you, Rhonda, and you, Ezekiel, and everyone here on the line with us.
Yes. Ashe. And it is so. And if...
Ashe.
Ashe.
We have a caller. 732-215. Welcome to the Ringing Stone Network. You're on with the author of The Frame.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Hi, peace. Welcome to the network.
Great. Okay. When you spoke of the cup, I love antique flea markets, yard sales, mostly anything old, some things new. But sometimes people would say to me that, like, if something is happening to me, it seems very small. But when I speak to it to other people, it seems big to them. So they'll say, well, you know what? It may be something that you brought out of that shop or something. But I never feel anything evil or anything from things that I buy. I may feel it from people sometimes, but I never feel it from people. I mean, from things. As a matter of fact, like I feel like you were saying, you could actually take and turn things into what you want it to be.
Yes, you make such a powerful point, because, you know, in an antique shop, the things that we gravitate to, us of us that love old things, is the fact that when people made those things, they put their art, their love, and their body into it, and they would have thought it was sacrilege to think that that thing would end up in a junkyard one day. So when it was made, they made it with the intention that you would buy it, love it, and when you were done with it, you would pass it on.
Okay.
Right?
Thank you.
So,
I have two more, but go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, and so they put the magic in it, and then you recognize the magic that they put in it. And what you recognize, and what I was saying in the plastic cup, is that the person that made the plastic cup didn't see the cup as sacred. When they most likely, when they produced it, they saw it as a means to making money or whatever that would be, or a means to a paycheck if they're the ones on the production line, you know. But when we hold it, at any moment in its existence, we have an opportunity to reinstate it to sacred. And that's what I was speaking of. And from that moment over, it will forever be changed and elevated.
I have two more questions, though. Would you like me to wait? Okay. The next one, when you speak about anger, I noticed at the time, it's time of death. What a lot of people do is they turn that hurt, and they turn the hurt into anger. Most of the time you see a lot of families at that time of death, someone close to them, and they're all close, and you'll see them getting along so mean to one another. But when my sister passed, I started to do the same thing. I got to the second person, and then I stopped, and I started looking at myself. And I was like, well, what am I doing? And then I began to realize I was turning the hurt into anger, trying, you know, think people when at that time that hurt turns into that anger, and they actually try to hurt other people.
Yes. Mm. Oof, yeah. You're highlighting something so beautiful, and I don't even know if we got your name. Would you?
My name, I have a few names. My name is Ishtar, and I'll just hold the other one off for right now.
Okay. Sounds good. May I refer to you as Z for the honoring of you just as the presence on this call? Does that work for you? Or
like
the second one?
V as in victory.
Oh, victory, V. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Ooh, V as in victory. Okay. So, V, what I hear in that, right, is that hurt was what was present, right? And then anger, in the way that I'm speaking to it, is alerting to let you know that something sacred is being stepped on.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times in our culture, we don't honor our hurt. We don't, like, we feel like we have to justify that we're hurt before we can speak about being hurt, you know?
Yes,
we have to have a good reason to be hurt. And and this is a great time for our children to bring the child in us. Child doesn't need a reason to be hurt. They just cry. You know what I'm saying? They just go to their expression. And so when I hear you, what I'm hearing is that the anger was reminding you that you are overstepping your hurt.
Yes.
So you, and it was important for you to take a step back and get back to your hurt and not over, don't go over it. Don't pave over that. Don't run over that. Like, take its time and be with that hurt and let it have its time in your life so that it can offer and reveal and help you heal, because hurt is one of the stages of healing, you know? It's so powerful, and it's present for all of us right now on some level. Does that resonate, V?
No, I have one more.
Yeah, but does that one resonate with you?
Yes, you did. Absolutely.
Okay, beautiful.
Perfect.
Okay, beautiful.
And
number
the next
three?
One. Yeah, three. One more. You want me to wait?
No, go for it.
Okay. Oh, you said agree. Yes, I agree. The next one is darkness. When you spoke of darkness, how it seems like to me we could not have light without the darkness. Even when a woman conceives child, if you look into her womb and it's dark, that means that's the baby in there. So the baby is in darkness in the beginning. And then even the earth, if we take and we put a hole into the earth and we look down into the hole, we see the same thing, darkness.
Yep. Amen.
That's what I wanted to say when you spoke of darkness. I was like, wow, where people speak of darkness in a good way. They would say the light.
Yeah. No, they're necessary unto each other. And like a baby, like you said, and I often use the analogy of a seed, you know, a seed, a tree, a plant, a seed, a tree, a plant. It all starts germinating in the darkness. it's so much has happened before it ever sees the light of day. A birth, a baby, you know, there is some light that penetrates the walls of a mother's stomach, you know, but there is that darkness. And in our culture, so much of the dark, the richness that is us is within the intimacy of our own darkness. And we have a culture that wants us to move away from that. Because when we allow ourselves to go into that, we find the fruit of our being. We find the blueprint of our majestic nature. And then if we allow the germination period to take place, when it hits the sunlight, sister, it cannot be broken. By that point, it is fortified and it is enriched and it is ready for that part of the process. But when we rush ourselves into the light prematurely, we don't have the grounding and the fortitude system of the network of the root structure to sustain the elements. So we got to honor the darkness. We got to honor the meditation, the eyes closed and willing to go in there and live in there just as much as we attract the light. Yeah.
You know what I just, what you said, when the baby is born, I this is what I seem to see studying my grandchildren. They come here with their own language.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of their perfect ways, I say. But because they came out of the darkness, then when they came out into the light, it's like they came out, and I guess it says something like this, it's like they came out into destruction even. Because although they have their own little words they say, you know, when they with the stuff they book, they call it gibberish and stuff. But when you commune with them, their words is adding up to what their actions. And so what we do to the babies is we take them out of their perfection and we bring them into imperfection by teaching them all of these ways. I think you was just saying something like that a minute ago with how that the change comes on or something. And that's the same thing that happens to these babies too.
Yeah. It does, and in beautiful balance, you know. Nothing happens in the way I see it. V is like nothing ever happens to us that isn't in favor and in service of us. So even as children, as we're laden with the problems that of earthly things, therefore is waiting our opportunity to be the light and to be the way home and the clarity in which way each one of us is uniquely equipped to do that. You know?
Mm-hmm. So say like the ones that don't make it through, the harm that they have to go through, what is that part of it if it's supposed to be?
It's so wide. And just for the honoring of like this, the timeline of the show and everything, you know, just speaking like each person, V, has the blueprint and within us, just like a seed has the blueprint. And so there's so many different ways we can look at the world and wonder why things happen, you know. But at the end of the day, when a person's willing to go inside themselves and be honest and ask themselves a question, I've always found that a person will find meaning in even the most severely uncomfortable of situations. They will find clarity on how they were being fastened and like almost like a coal being pressurized into a diamond. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not an enjoyable experience, but that's what makes a diamond brilliant, is that it went through that intense pressurization. And so I can't speak for each individual, you know, but I just know on an overview, everything is happening for us. And when we understand who we are and why we are, everything gets brought into perspective, and we see our spirits been walking hand in hand with us from the beginning.
Ashe.
And you know, okay, I'll stop. Okay. I wanted to go on. Let me shut up.
Thank you, Vito. Thank you so much for your time and calling
in. This
is my first radio talk in this way, and you're my first call, someone to call in. So I celebrate this moment with you and your willingness to play it with me. I feel rich by you, V. So thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Amen. Ashe. Yes, yes.
It keeps getting better, Wanda.
Peace, family.
Yes, yes.
We got to come back. Peace, family. If you have a question, press one, and we'll let you in, and you can ask your question. Mine is, I want to probe into your childhood. Did you know at some point, or at what point in your childhood did you know that you were a rainbow child?
Are you asking those listening? Who are you asking me?
I'm asking you. Was there some point in your childhood that you knew that you were intuitive?
Yeah.
And if you have a little story behind it. I'm cozy. I apologize. But
what are you apologizing for?
For prying into your childhood. But
it's
I got a method
to
my man.
Yeah. No, no apologies necessary here. And I really, and I use my own journey as a big part of this book, you know, and try to use anything that I call from my own personal experience, you know, to shine light, you know, in any way possible. And, you know, I didn't have the reference point as a rainbow child, as a child, you know, but I knew I grew up in the Bronx and I grew up into a very, very toxic environment. And one thing about the city life is that toxicity is on top of each other, you know? Like you're crammed into really tight spaces. I had the blessing as a high schooler to move to a suburb where at least you have like a little bit of space onto your own family, you know? You know, to have your experience, a little bit of green and a little bit of land around you, you know, to buffer your life experience. But in the city, so from a very, very young, as long as I had understanding, I had an understanding that human beings were not living in the realm of what was possible, that they were living out something that was far short of what's possible, and that I wanted to be a part of the medicine and the paradigm to help shift that. And, you know, my childhood was laden with moments of understanding, you know, of personal gifts, of the ways I was seeing things that were registering, you know, the way I was treated, some of them horrific and painful, you know, and some of them loving and really joyous, you know, but they were all like these like moments of understanding and clarifying all throughout my life. But to answer your question, brother, like from a very, very young age, I understood that I was part of the solution and that would be my life's work is to be that and to bring that.
Peace. I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing that. You know, because they are, you know, Brother Tony Brother, he said this statement once in the lecture that when Mother Gaia determines that there's a certain type of child that needs to be born, she starts to ask women, you know, to start producing those type of child. So I've found there's an increase of rainbow and crystal children for what's going to happen in the future. So I wanted them to, my audience is usually half people from 18 to 25. Well, I wanted them to hear some of your stories so they'll know that it's normal for them at this time to be resonating and vibrating at a higher level. Normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. And it's so, and thank you for like, and so powerful that that's your listening because there's so much beautiful energy in that. And in the collectiveness present on Mama Earth right now, we are abundantly, we're rolling deep, I say, in medicine, you know? And, you know, we have our elders that have been through a life and are looking back now, and they have so much to give, you know? And so I often remind us, you know, as I was remembering my youth, I thought I had all the answers, you know? And life had a way of humbling me at every age to remind me of how I'll leave this earth with more questions than answers. and becoming at peace with that is one of the most beautiful gifts I've been able to give myself. And but also remembering that the rambunctiousness of my 14 years, my teenage years, was a powerful energy, and when I aligned it with the wisdom of the elders around me, I found this magic formula for good, you know? And so when we hold our children as sacred, we honor the voice of our teens and our young adults, but we help them craft it with the clarity of the wisdom of our elders, and we work as a whole body, understanding that each piece is powerful and important. No piece is superfluous. No person superfluous, you know? And the fabric is the medicine. It's just like so much is possible. Mm-hmm. Everything is possible, I say. Woo, you guys are pulling some. I'm feeling like some stuff is coming.
And you know, woman, you keep knocking us back too. You know, it's like, whoa, the way of the king. Like, oh my God. It's like it's seven back to 1,000. Look, another home run out the park. There it goes.
That's us.
That's
what we're doing right now, and that's what I say in the leadership. Everyone listening right now, us three on the phone right now, V calling in, everybody is co-creating this moment. This is not a damn Michael moment. This is not a Wanda moment. This is not a show moment. This is a collective body. And if you were in here with us right now, this would never be what it was, you know? And that's why I'm so excited about the message bringing forward. So thank you for showing up, y'all, even if you're on the listening end, standing powerfully, adding your collective energy to this conversation.
I see.
Do we have another question, y'all? If you have a question, press 1. You know, definitely press 1 to get in. Beginning of the year. And so this is a beautiful way to start by getting the book, the frame, and working on some of the things you should do to align yourself with nature and, you know, the way this planet is turning deeply for freedom. You know, this planet is rebelling just like they're rebelling in Iran. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Something that hasn't happened probably in 100 years. So, you know, Gaia is turning it up, you know. And she's also in protection. But anyway.
I heard.
Go ahead, brother.
As we're waiting to see if someone else calls in, you know, and one thing about the new year that you brought that up, a lot of people made New Year's resolutions. And, you know, I really want to speak to a lot of people made New Year's resolutions, and just days into New Year's, a lot of people have already fell short on the dream of that the resolution they had set forth for a year, right? They've already fell short of it. And I want to talk to you out there, you know? Those of you already maybe have fell short, there's going to be a desire to beat yourself up. And I want to ask you, please, please refrain from going down that track, because there's no gold at the end of that rainbow. There's nothing of service that a self-whooping is ever going to bring you. The thing about it, and it's so richly written in the frame, is that when we want to make a big leap, we have to prepare ourselves for that leap, like a marathon. Someone that wants to run a marathon, they don't sit on the couch watching movies, eating Doritos for a month, and then get up Sunday morning and try to run a marathon. It's not how it's done. They spend months, if not years, preparing their body, their mind, and their spirit, mentally, physically, and spiritually, to have what it takes, the fortitude to finish that race. I don't know if you know anyone that runs marathons. My grandmother actually started running marathons at 64 years old. I'll say that again, y'all. My grandmother started running marathons at 64 years old. She found her freedom at 64 years old and ended up getting invited to travel the worldwide for what an inspiration she was. And so what a matriarch for my family and a big part of the breath of my love, you know? She brought to me. So I feel rich to be able to name her, you know, in this conversation. But You know, a lot of us started our new year staying up way too late, maybe drinking, maybe setting it up, thinking in our minds that the next morning we're going to wake out of bed and start a new life. And it was a setup. And within it was not the blueprint for success. And so if you fell short, people, take a deep breath, brush yourself off, know that you're not alone. Reevaluate the goals you want to set. Get your hands on the frame, people, and read this message from Spirit to how you can begin to build a platform that your dreams can stand solid upon. So when the morning comes, when it's time for you to start your marathon, that you have known that you have done everything you could in your power to prepare you to be effective. And even when you've done all that, when you speak to a person that runs a marathon, they'll tell you it's the 26th mile that is the excruciating one.
Mm.
All right? It's when they've already run 25. It's that last mile where everything that they've done up until that point is tested to prove that they got the willpower to drive them through. And that's the moment when you call on willpower. And so another part of the book is how to use your willpower in a way that works for you, because your willpower is a muscle and it gets exhausted. And most of us are using it improperly. I know I was. And once I understood how it works, I was able to use it in a more powerful, effective way. And it was a game changer, y'all. So love yourself. Take a deep breath. And know that if you have breath in your lungs, you have the room and the time to go again. And that's such a rough, that's such a rich place to be. There's many people right now that don't have the richness of time. And if you got it, then be thankful, people. Love yourself. Be gentle on yourselves. And live to play another day.
Yes. Ashe, ashe. Thank you, Dan Michael. I don't think there are any other calls coming through for questions.
All right.
So,
yeah.
Again, I thank you. I appreciate you and just love you. And I would like to let the audience know that the next meeting for the reading of the frame will be on the 9th of January. I can be emailed at alahadwanda@yahoo.com, and the scheduled time is from 4 until 6. Any questions, I can be reached at 318-376-3145. That's 318-376-3145. Dan Michael will be coming to the city of Monroe, Louisiana, about the first week of February. We have a trunk show. Dan Michael is a designer as well as author and light worker. And again, I thank the listening audience. I thank Ringing Stone Network for opening this invitation to us. And with that, I say love, light, and
Sister
peace.
Wanda, let the people know how they can get his book before we again, or if they want to contact him, what personal information you want to give.
I have his books available for those here in Louisiana or other places if they'd like to have them shipped. And Dan Michael, you want to say other areas they can purchase your book?
It's on Amazon currently, and the paperback was just released 2 days ago, so it's now available for paperback on Amazon. And all my information, direct information, is on the website, goodnessinaction.us. This is a collective journey, people, so I'm available. And let me know whatever on your heart moving forward. Goodnessinaction.us.
Yes.
And I'll be in the 9th through the 13th, Wanda, right? Are the dates that I'll be in Monroe, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. February, right?
February.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. Great. Cool.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, with the network,
all right.
Both of y'all, definitely. Mr. Wanda, you know this is a home for you. And family also, Wanda has a Magnolia Tree Institute, and she lives on the land, you know. It's Monroe, but it used to be Washita Point. So she lives on the land. So if you want to send something to the Magnolia Tree Institute so it can be planted as a memorial for you or some of your ancestor energy, please contact your sister and send her that or send her a donation so she can grow some stuff down there. You know, it don't take a whole lot, you know, like that. I'm Brother Yusiku Jiku L. You know, we're producing the Ring of Star Network. Hopefully next Wednesday or Thursday we're going to have Lester Lovings. He has a lot on his heart in terms of the scientific approach going into this year. And I'm excited about that. And also Committee Youth is coming up where we're going to go over the federal rules of evidence and get into the rules of procedure. So we can be teaching folks, you know, how to look at these lawyers that ain't asking the right questions. And also remember, if you have student loan problems, email theringstonenetwork@gmail.com and we'll try to get you signed up so you can learn how to get these folks off your back. So we appreciate y'all. You love everybody out there that showed up today. We thank you for that. Thanks for being a follower on the Ring of Stone Network. And I'm going to take us out with this conversation place.
Thank you so much.